Well, check it out, y'all. We got what you need. We're all living in apartments, condos, vans. Well, dude, even you can have a studio. A studio in a box. Yes, we can help you with that right here at Blind Knowledge. We work on your budget, and we figure out your measurements. We'll get you the best sound for the best price. Let me know, 877-237-1143 or at blindknowledge.com. Yep.
Welcome back, everybody, to Maniacal Music Musings. I'm your host, Jeremy, a renegade of sorts. I am also one of the great lords of the ring. Well, cock ring, that is. I'm all mixed up, even though I just got what I needed. I'm patiently waiting for the lights to go out so I can flow away with the winds of March. Because I am tired as a motherfucker right now. But let me get to my co-host. He's a blue-collar man who drives the wheel in the sky every night. He is the great white hope who is up against the ropes with his queen of spades, who, as he says, is my best friend's girl. He's got something to hide, but la-da-da, we don't talk about that. Or why he's feeling that way. We just let the good times roll here. Chancey motherfucking Grife!
Hi.
Chancey, the anticipation's killing me, dude.
It killed me. I could see it. I could see it.
See, these albums, three, did not give me that great of songs to make an intro out of. Just saying. But I worked with what I had. And I did it. But welcome back, everybody. It's, as always, your musers are glad to be here to provide you some entertainment for an hour. And when I say albums three, tonight we did a fantastic job picking albums three, and we will get to all those in the time due. First things first, let me introduce our guest. We've been looking forward to this guest, well, at least I have, for a couple months now. Our guest tonight is the host of the Cliff Yates Show podcast. He's a stand-up comedian and former cop for over 25 years. Cliff Yates, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, guys, I'm so happy to be with you. Yeah, stupidly, I was a cop by day, a comedian by night. That was kind of stupid. But no, I had a good time doing it and loved working Los Angeles. And, you know, so I have a few stories about L.A., but glad to be with you guys. I appreciate the introduction with all the sticks, titles to the songs that we got into. And, man, I love your guys' show. You guys are killing it.
Thank you.
Wow. 150 something episodes. We've been having fun with it for a while now. So
yeah, you guys are doing good.
Yeah, we actually get more compliments than we'd like to admit, but we don't give them as often as we like. We don't give them off as we like either. So, you know, it's a hard mistress, but we enjoy doing this show immensely and our fans are what it's all about.
Well deserved.
They may not be in the hundreds, but we got fans, and that's all that matters. And we thank you, Jerry, one of you, and you're all welcome to come on the show if you message one of us, if you could find my co-host, of course, but with his pussy walking behind him. But, oh, so cute.
Stray cat strut, but, man.
Oh, man. I locked my cat up because she just whines lately. I don't know.
And that's why I locked my kids up. But, I joke, but we are, of course, here to discuss three albums, and as always, we're gonna see why our guest brought what he wanted to bring, and not that I'm complaining, but I'm kind of curious. What album did you bring there, Cliff, and why did you want to bring this one?
I brought an album from Journey, 1978, Infinity. And I'm going to tell you why. You want me to go into it right now?
Oh, go into it, my brother.
So I was a cop in upstate New York, 1978 until 83. As a matter of fact, one of you is from Kingston, New York. You probably know Geneseo, New York, south of Rochester.
Genesee? Yeah, I know Genesee.
Geneseo. In a Genesee County, too. It's south of Rochester. It's in like the southern tier.
Oh, I'm thinking of Geneseo in real upstate New York. But Geneseo, I think I kind of know it. I'd have to see
south
it.
South of Lake Ontario, about the Finger Lakes, Canisius Lake, south of Lake Ontario, about
20 miles. Oh. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Western New York, I never really spent any time in. I didn't know anybody out that way.
You're not missing anything. But anyway, I was a cop there in upstate New York. So 1978, I'm working the rural areas, and I'm talking to a friend of mine in another police car. We're meeting on the streets, 2 a.m. And he's listening to this album. And then I ask him about it. And he goes, this is Journey, you know, Steve Perry. And, you know, he's telling me about it. And I'm going, I'm really liking this. And then later, so I started listening to that album and I really liked it. And then 1978. And then I had a call. This is a memory. A car goes over the ditch. It's like 20 feet down in a gully. And the Journey's playing in this car and it's bellowing over the whole canyon, and I'm just remembering this because I got to fast forward 20 years to 1998 when I'm working for the LA Sheriff's Department, and I'm assigned to the Universal City Walk, and I was working the day shift, and we would go down on Lancashire Boulevard in Studio City, and we would go to this restaurant called The Good Neighbor, and we had our breakfast and we left and we went to pay, and they go, oh, Steve Perry already paid for your breakfast. What? Yeah. Steve Perry comes in here with his AA group and he always buys you guys breakfast. And so the next time he was there with his group in the morning, man, I met him and thanked him. And then I got reacquainted with the album because now I had a personal connection, man. Steve Perry, I'm thinking back when I first heard that album, Infinity. And then, you know, to meet him 20 years later, and that, of course, he wasn't with the band anymore since, what, 96, I think. And then he was meeting his AA group is what he was meeting. But so then all of a sudden I was kind of reacquainted to the album. And then I thought, well, I think I'm going to bring that to you guys because I have a story to go along with it.
Oh, shit. I mean, yeah, that's a good story, actually. I mean, I almost was waiting for like the car going over the cliff and then like a wheel in the sky joke there. But
that's actually what was playing. Wheels in the Sky was
playing.
Of course
it was. Of course it was.
I mean, and you can imagine it's 3 a.m., pitch black. The car is 20 feet down with the lights in through the into the gully and the doors open. The driver ran from the scene and we're out in the middle of Bodunk, motherfucking nowhere. And then that's the song is just bellowing. And I really, you know, I had that memory, but that it really came back to me later meeting Steve Perry. And so that, I don't know, when you get a personal relationship with something like that, you know, you remember it. So that's kind of the reason why I wanted to bring it, you know.
Oh, yeah. I would have told him the story. I'd have been like, man, the first time I ever heard your stuff, I was working a whole car wreck just to see the look on his face, you know, just like, what the fuck, man? Like, oh, no, everybody's fine. It's just like it was ironic because, you know,
I wonder what this thing's going. I did not tell him. No, I didn't tell him that story. No.
I would have been able to help myself, but then again, I also, you know, I do, anytime I've ever met a celebrity of any type, it's always under the worst circumstances. So,
I got working at Universal City Walk, you know, they had the Universal Amphitheater. We got to meet all these celebrities. It became second nature. I really miss, you take it for granted while you're there, but I really miss kind of that access now. You know, in 2010, we got to go see Journey again with Arnel Pineda. I mean, that guy, you know, he took over singing in 98, I think, or somewhere around there. But man, he is phenomenal. You've heard of him, or?
Yeah. Well, I've heard of their stuff that they put out after, you know, Steve Perry, like,
yeah,
fine, like made the old full quit instead of, you know, when he left and then came back and then they did their bit and then he left again.
They were searching for this guy, right? And then they saw him on like YouTube. So they had him come over to the States for an audition. And so
I remember that now. Yeah.
And they made him sing like a customs. Like, what are you doing? I'm going to be singing for Journey. And he stood on a chair and he sang. And they go, oh, shit, man, you're the real deal. And man, he put on a show. This son of a bitch. I mean, there was no, his energy was 100 from start to finish, man. Just drenched in sweat. I couldn't tell the difference in his voice, man. It was just awesome to see.
That's true. I remember now that I fully recall that, you are correct. It was kind of like that Adam Lambert guy with Freddie Mercury. Well, similar story. Yeah.
We love him. You know, we said, my wife and I both said, this guy's going to be, he's going to be singing with Queen. Yeah.
Oh, Adam Lambert's amazing when he does praise songs. He really is.
Yeah.
I know people that have seen him live with Queens, with Brian May and the rest of the band, and he's just, he's incredible. They say he's incredible. Yeah. They say you know the difference, obviously, but it's not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, man, to carry on that, oh, God, that was so legendary. Yeah. Yeah, Adam Lambert, loved him. We just loved him. Yeah, he was awesome. But
I remember watching him win American Idol like freaking 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And like that's an insane thing.
Has it been that long? Damn it.
Oh, dude, Kelly Clarkson was like the first winner like in 2000. So yeah, it's been that long.
Shit. Yeah. Oh my God. You know what I mean? I feel so damn young, guys. And then I realize when you talk about 1978, holy shit, right?
I don't even think I was a frozen sperm in the lab yet at that point. So.
Is that right? Oh my God. See, damn it. I'm feeling depressed now.
It's all right, man. I mean, I was a few years out from my assembly date, but you know, it was close enough.
Yeah. It's funny I had another memory since researching for you guys at the Amphitheater Universal. So I remember that, you know, I think Stevie Nicks was going to be by herself at the amphitheater. So I was out at the main gate to the back lot. And then here she comes. She drove herself to her own concert. A lot of people did that in L.A., man. Just drive up. I'm here. I have a concert. Oh, of course. Yeah. They drive to the back of the amphitheater, and then they go in through the back door and get dressed and do their thing, man. It's just crazy.
That's awesome.
I mean, a lot of bands back then I couldn't see doing it because they usually are too gone when they perform to even attempt to drive themselves anywhere. But,
yeah.
I mean, Ozzy ain't driving himself to the amphitheater. No way in hell.
No, I don't think so. But, you know, who knows, man? You know, when you're right there at Universal, you're kind of in the hub of, you know, the Hollywood Hills, and everybody, it could be 2 or 3 miles from their house or just down the road, you know?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Sharon would be driving him the whole way and just yelling at him. But
yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
I was going to say the question isn't so much as to whether or not Ozzy would have made the attempt. My question is who would have said anything?
Yeah,
especially if you're at the gate and he already made it to the venue, like, are you really gonna mess with all that paperwork?
No. Well, and you go to this gate. This is the backlot gate, so you don't go to this gate unless you're an
already in. Yeah.
You're already part of the studios or whatever. Yeah. So this is not like the public gate, but it's the backlot. Yeah. So, but that was interesting, man. I go, fuck, there's Stevie Nicks, man. It's awesome.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. I would love to meet Stevie Nicks. It'd be a freaking honor.
It would be. Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. I had another. So when I first went out there, right, I had another rock story for you guys. So this was like, this was totally improper to do, by the way. It was like, I was still in the jails in LA County. And so I went along with these guys. We're going to go to this strip club, you know, in Pacoima, you know, basically North Hollywood, you know, and it's kind of in a rough area. So we go, but you know what we're going to do is we just badge them at the door and they let us in. Because what would happen is LAPD Vice would go into the strip club to just check. The strip clubs had to be, you know, Vice would check in there to say that they checked the establishment. So they actually would sign in at a paper And then LAPD would collect that later. So they know what their vice guys went in there. So we would sign here. I'm working the jails of LA. I'm not even supposed to be doing this. I'm badging them. So I signed whatever it was. It's probably a false name, you know. And then, and I didn't know this till later, these guys, so Motley Crue is in there. They hand the lady behind the bar a cassette tape, Girls, Girls, Girls. And they play the song for these girls dancing. I didn't even know it till later. It was 1987, but the song wasn't even released yet. And here we were. It was just awesome time. And I didn't realize till later what a special moment that was, right? It was crazy.
Oh,
that is, that's fucking awesome, man.
I miss that, those days, man. Yeah.
You know, that's funny as shit. Because we just picked our albums for next week today. And Motley Crue almost got picked for me today. Almost.
No matter what anybody would have picked, I would have picked my choice for next week, regardless.
I know you would have, but I just because of who the guest next week is and what he picked, I almost went Motley Crue because glam metal loves glam metal. But I just decided to go a different direction with that one. But I almost, that's what
you
said.
You got to start at the start, man. You got to start at the start.
Well, we'll get to that next week, Chancey. But I literally was looking at the Girls, Girls, Girls album today and just being like, do I want to bring this next week? Like, I was just, that's just so random that came up. But I've seen Motley Crue live too. I fucking love Motley Crue.
Oh my! And you know, Tommy Lee is a great. He loves the Sheriff's Department. And so one night we're in the back lot with a buddy of mine who, you know, he never got me fired, but probably close. So Tommy Lee is down there with Pamela and whatnot. He goes, oh, dude, we just did a scene here. We're doing a music video, man. And we had a fake sheriff's car. And we could have used the real sheriff's car. You know, my buddy goes, well, you want to use the car, you know? And he goes, yeah, but we got a guy in it. You know, he's wearing a naked suit, right? It was the video was Get Naked. And so he goes, oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, he can be in the car. And so then I remember we let him use the car. I just saw the video, but I didn't see the car in it. Somebody said it was in there, but we went and told our sergeant, oh, by the way, Tommy Lee, we just let him use our car on a video. He goes, don't, you guys don't tell me this shit, you know? But he was always the friendliest guy, man. Tommy Lee, loved him, man. He was good.
Methods of Mayhem. That was a good album.
That's right. Yeah. Methods of Mayhem, man. Oh my God. But I was kind of concerned after we did that, but you know, I went along with my partner. He was kind of rogue like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, Tommy Lee, the only man who could steer a sailboat from the back.
Yeah, exactly. That's right, man.
I fucking love Tommy Lee. I really do.
I do too, man.
I got into Motley Crue in high school. So fucking bad. So fucking bad. And it was way past their prime. They didn't put out an album in probably 15 years at that point. But still, they were just so classic in high school. But, well, Chancey, I think I shall let you go first this week. What did you think of Journey?
So, it's kind of a tricky question, because if you'd have asked me this question, you know, 15, 20 years ago, I'd have given you an entirely different response. I actually would have been the same for both of the albums too, because for the longest time, I just hated it. I hated Journey. I hated Styx. I hated all of it, because it's just, there was something about it where I hadn't been able to get to the point where I could appreciate things for what they were. It was just kind of like all I heard was all the stereo, you know, the tropes, you know, the stuff that gets trotted out on the classic rock radio. And my mom was big into it anyway. So, like, you know, then there's, you got all that compounded on top of it. But then I started getting, you know, more into music, and then, you know, taught myself how to play a little bit. And I was like, hey, you know what, though? Like, this actually is really good. I got no complaints at all, because it's just, you know, you stop and you go back and you look at it. And earlier when you were talking about Steve Perry, it always makes me think about the movie Basketball, because that's what they use as a fake out. Steve Perry. We weren't going to use that anymore. But still, I mean, like, there's a lot of good stuff, especially just with the two albums, you know, just with your album specifically as well. I mean, I always forgot the name of one of the songs on there, but listening to the album, I was like, That's the name of that fucking song. All right, yeah. I got it.
Well, I will say, I mean, it's unlike Chansey, I always appreciated Journey since I was a young teenager, and I had the greatest, I bought the greatest hits of FYE as a teenager because it's fucking Journey. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, how do you not hear Don't Stop Believing on Family Guy and not fall in love with Journey?
Yeah, right. Oh my God.
See, that's your problem, Jeremy, is you heard it from fucking Family Guy.
No, instead that's not the first place.
In the back,
it's not the,
instead
it's
of
not
in the
first
back,
place.
Yeah, motherfucker. But seriously, though, like, I'm thinking about being the back of the station wagon on my way to fucking Minnesota listening to, you know, Don't Stop Believing if that's the one we're going to go with. But, like, yeah, it's like, yeah, I'm just in the back and I'm just like, can we please, like, put on, you know, something, just anything else? Can I get some ZZ Top? How about a little bit of, you know, like, you know, James Brown, something? Give me something to work with here. But like I said, I had different tastes back then, but
yeah,
as you know, as I grew up, I was like, okay, like the thing that I disliked about it, I learned was extremely trivial.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Journey is the type of band that I listen to if I forgot my case of CDs at home and I had to listen to the radio. I'm putting on the classic rock station and Journey's playing always, usually at some point during that day, but. Or whether it's Journey, Led Zeppelin, or pick one. But, I mean, all the classic rock artists from the 70s and 80s, but we're playing. But it's just what it was. And, I mean, I didn't buy a Journey CD until, God, late high school. I didn't buy until I bought the favorites, like, Greatest Hits. And, God, that whole Greatest Hits album is freaking golden. I could listen to that on repeat and not and just not, like, turn it off. It's incredible. Yeah. But, so, like, this album, I will say, I don't think it's near their best album even, but you have story behind it, which makes it a worthwhile album to bring on.
It was personal. Yeah.
And two of the songs out of the Greatest Hits is on this album. So I can't complain because I learned some new songs I never actually really heard that were amazing on this album. So I got some new favorites. Gotta love it.
Yeah. Lights and, is one of my favorites for sure. Lights was number one for me. Yeah.
Oh, I'll get to all that in a minute. Trust me.
Sorry. All right.
It's all good, brother. Yeah. And hey, Harley, thanks for watching as always. And I'm guessing
she's talking about Stevie Nicks.
I assume she posted that comment a minute ago. I just kept forgetting to show it. Hello, Facebook user randomness. You could be one of multiple people. I'm not gonna say your guess. Sorry, but I ain't playing that game tonight. But. Well, we can get to that now, Steve. Or Steve. Cliff. God. Long day.
Yeah, we got Steve fucking Perry here. Come on, man.
Sometimes I go by Steve. It's okay. Sometimes I go by Steve. A lot of them, my friends call me asshole. No, I'm just kidding. No, yeah.
Oh.
I can relate.
I guess the names are Chancey better than that. But hey, Shannon, I figured it might be you, but I didn't want to assume. But what were your top five off your own album there, Cliff? We can get to that now.
Yeah, Lights, When the Lights Go Down in the City. Number one, of course, Wheel in the Sky from those memories. I don't know where I'll be tomorrow. I mean, I'm telling you, that hit me because of the connection. And The Winds of March, I like that. And I go with Can't Do and Open the Door. But I mean, they're kind of like milquetoast to me. But that's the best I could pick for the album. Like you said, it's not the best album of theirs for sure.
Well, Chancelot, what are your top five for Journey, out of curiosity?
So it's funny because he listed three out of my five, which is, I was just like, I'll be damned. So my number five is Can Do. Okay. My number four is La Da Da. And number three was Anytime. Number two was Wheels in the Sky. Obviously, Wheels in the Sky is iconic. He can't not put it on the list. And of course, as you stated, number one is Lights. I mean, that was the one where I was like, that's the name of that motherfucker.
I know, right? I forgot that was the name too. Yeah, it was awesome.
How do you forget that's the name where that's literally like the course?
I know. You would think.
You would think, but also at the same time, In the City would be an equally Because he says in the city, more times than he says fucking lights, Jeremy.
Yeah.
There was already a rock song called In the City, I'm pretty sure.
Are you pretty sure? Are you sure?
Do you remember? I know ABK redid it, so I know there's an original of it. In the City. Yeah, I don't remember if it was like a later song or not, but I know there's already a song called In the City. But
I don't know.
I forget who does the original even. I really do. I like ABK's version better. But Shannon, I'm guessing you're saying that was playing during Lady's Choice Skate there, the lights. Or Wheel in the Sky. I don't know. But one of the two.
Oh, right. Probably lights. Lights would be a better ladies' choice skate for the skating rinks back in the day.
Yeah.
But if you're skating in a circle at the rink, wouldn't Wheel in the Sky work as well?
Oh, yeah.
No. But it depends on if you're trying to get close. Because if you're getting that close move, you want that slow jam.
I don't know how close you want to get on skates unless you want to have some collisions there. But
in the prime of skating rinks, dude. Not only did they not give a fuck about collisions because they were like, oh, you don't need no fucking headgear or anything like that. In that time frame, they were taking people to the skating rinks hoping for a later collision, if you will.
Yes. Yes.
There you go, Shane. I like that one better. Loving touching, squeezing. But yeah, that's a better Jerry song than it was on this album.
Yeah, that is good. Yeah, I like that one. Yeah.
That's on the racist. That's damn sure. But see, I actually had two honorable mentions for Journey because it's fucking Journey. How could I not? And I mean, patiently feeling that way were my honorable mentions because they were damn decent songs. I just definitely weren't top five material, but they're damn decent. Number five was La Duda because that song was unique. I like that one. I like it when the chorus isn't really even like a real word. Queen was good for that too, but. Number four was Something to Hide, because it gave me so many ideas for dirty jokes in the future, and it was just a good song overall as well, but I don't like their slower stuff. I mean, Journey, I never really liked their slower stuff too much. I mean, it has its moments, but the guitar needs to be going. Which brings me to number three, Winds of March, because the guitar solo at the end of that is fucking phenomenal. Yes. I'd be lying if I said I knew what the guitar player from Journey's name was, even.
I don't either, yeah. That is phenomenal. That is awesome.
I'm guessing Chance doesn't either, even though he's on the mute.
I got nothing.
Oh my God.
I was going to say, my depth of knowledge about Journey ends at Steve Perry, all right?
kind of me too, yeah. You know,
and Shannon, yes, all the girls do like the loving touch and squeeze, and I am well aware. But, and that means that my number two, actually, to be a little different than everybody else here, Lights was my number two.
Okay.
Because Wheel in the Sky is one of my most favorite songs of all time from the 70s. And it's such a metaphor for just life.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to see tomorrow. Like, the wheel just keeps turning. I don't know how I'm going to see tomorrow because who doesn't feel that way at least one night a week? Like, everybody's exhausted at least once a week. So, I don't know. That's just,
I related to that too. Just, you know, driving out to California and also when I was doing comedy and driving out to Laughlin or just in the middle of the night, it just, I don't know. It had that vibe to it.
It does. And I mean, it's just, when he hits those high notes, like those kind of high notes too, like when he's doing the like moment after the chorus, like I'm not even gonna try to fucking do them because I would fail horribly, but the way he hits those is just fucking incredible. But I mean, Wheel in the Sky is always one of my favorite Journey songs about the grace that's out my head. So it's funny because it's one of the ones they really don't play in the radio that often, but it's just fucking incredible. So
well, that's not the case out here. That's not the case at all out here.
Well, it was when I actually listened to the radio. Yeah, I mean, it was when I actually listened to the radio back in the early 2000s. I haven't listened to it since then, really. But because, you know, MP3 players and Spotify became a thing and the radio kind of became obsolete. But
Word.
About 15 years ago, but I mean. Yeah. But, Chancey, what album did you want to bring us tonight?
Dude, I've been wanting to bring these guys on for a hot minute, because I've honestly, this is one of the bands where I have always been a fan of them ever since I first heard them. And that's The Cars.
Yeah.
And I picked their debut album, because I mean, if you're going to do it, you got to start with the start. I don't mind you coming here, wasting all my time, because when you're standing oh so near, I kind of lose my mind. It's not the perfume that you wear, it's not the ribbons in your
Yeah.
And right. it just so happens that that first album just got it's got five bangers on it just right out the gate. You could all but pick your top five just looking at the back of the track list.
Exactly.
And I thought it was super interesting, because I mean, I saw them when I was extremely young, like late 80s, early 90s, on like MTV and all the other stuff like that, where It was weird, because like at the time I really wasn't able to distinguish between genres, because they reminded me of like the Ramones if they cut their hair and got a job, but like they not even in the same ballpark, but still I just always like, oh yeah, okay. But oh, I can't speak highly enough of The Cars. That's one band. They were absolutely before their time. And also, I regret never having been able to see them play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, same. But, and actually, Chancey, okay, I need your opinion on this, because I don't know this one off the top of my head.
Well, I mean, the song is good. The band's good. I mean, Sabaton's pretty fucking awesome. I mean, they're not bad.
I don't know Sabaton off the top of my head like that, but it's been a minute. But, well, Cliff, what did you think of The Cars?
Well, there's like three that probably I heard over and over again just driving around and in my car when I was in high school. Well, not high school, but right after high school. Yeah, so Let the Good Times Roll, obviously, All the Time, My Best Friend's Girl, Come On, Just What I Needed. Those three are just staples of driving around town in my little village of Caledonian, upstate New York. Bye Bye Love was four, and All Mixed Up five, but you know, they were lukewarm to me. But those top three, Good Times Roll number one, two, My Best Friend's Girl, and then three was Just What I Needed, where it was my top three.
All right. Well, I mean, I will say I have always been a fan of The Cars. I mean, never by name, just mainly by their songs, because they did play on.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Supermarket radio stations all the time and whatnot, so it worked. But I mean, some of the songs I never knew before were actually really good, like, and I was surprised, because I never actually gave The Cars a chance. Like, I never went and actually went their back catalog and was like, all right, what else did they put out?
Yeah, me too.
It never came across as a chance to do that for me. So I mean, I had the time, just never really thought about it even. But and I didn't know they actually sang like all the popular songs they sang. I didn't realize that all of them was The Cars.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a good reintroducing myself to them. Yeah.
But you did good, Chancey Pants. You did good. What were your top five there, buddy? Man.
They're good.
Of course. Yeah. Of course I did.
Without question.
No. But.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where are you?
All right, Jeremy. I was just saying, are you all right there, big guy? Need to call in somebody? Do you get a wellness check on you or what?
No, I'm doing perfectly all right, man. I'm doing good. Just so you try to say you always bring in a good thing. Just yeah.
I didn't say that at all. I just said, of course I did. That's all I said. Anyway, actually, Cliff actually listed off all but one of my top five, which is hilarious. Good. So number five for me was Bye Bye Love. Number four was Good Times Roll. Number three was You're All I've Got Tonight. And two was Best Friend's Girl. And number one was Just What I Needed. Dude, Just What I Needed is probably their first song that I ever heard by this band. And I always really liked how they got that sound from a kind of like a clean sound on their guitar. That dank, that, you know, just, it's like, it's, you can tell there's a palm mute to it, but it's not like a distorted palm mute, which is what I was kind of used to from listening to stuff from the time and just in general. It's just like, man, this is pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
Well, since Cliff already gave his top three or five, I believe he did at least, right, Cliff?
Yeah, I did five. Yeah, five was, The Good Times Roll was one. Two was My Best Friend's Girl. Three, Just When I Needed. Four, Bye Bye Love. And All Mixed Up, I added, which I really did like. I had never heard that before. So I like it.
And Shannon, I see your comments, but give it a minute. I'll get to that. Because I actually had three honorable mentions for the Cars, because it's the fucking Cars.
Yeah.
And it's actually, mine are a little different than everybody else's. That's to be the funny thing. Because my number eight was Don't You Stop. My number seven was Good Time. My number seven was Good Times Roll. My number six was My Best Friend's Girl. My number five was You're All I Got Tonight, which of course I knew My Best Friend's Girl and You're All I've Got Tonight. I've heard those a thousand times. But number four was Just What I Need, because I think it's overused. Too many commercials, too many everything nowadays, but overplayed. But number three was Bye Bye Love, because that guitar was funky as shit in that song. Number two was All Mixed Up because of the sax at the end. That's pretty incredible. Yeah. And then number one, which nobody mentioned, from one of my favorite scenes in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Moving in Stereo.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's
a good one, yes.
Never did care for Fast Times, but it's a great song.
I mean, I'm more a fan of the Family Guy version of that than the Fast Times version of that, but I mean,
of course you are.
But that whole like trippy ass guitar sound is just legendary. But it's amazing. But so good job, Chancey. You brought a classic, and you did the same next week as well. So our listeners will have to wait and see what that one is. But I think it's time to move on to the final album of the night, which, as a lot of the time, means it's my album. And for this one, I am so excited I finally got to bring one of this band's albums on the show, because I, as always, when I get an album from the 70s, I look at what year it is, because I'm just like, all right, there's enough albums in the 70s that I know if I look up the year and what else came out that year, I'm going to find something I love. And lo and behold, I wasn't disappointed. Actually, I had a couple options I could pick from, but I happened to see that famous album cover of three women looking different directions, and I was like, oh, fuck yes, one of the top three albums they ever did. I am bringing Styx's Pieces of Eight, because fuck yeah, I mean, it's... It sticks. It's one of my favorite classic rock bands of all time. It was one of my dad's favorite bands as well, so that's why I got into them. But in high school, I bought like this three CD, I don't even know what the hell to call it. Basically, it was just like a big square thing with three albums in it. And so, a collection of some kind. I don't remember what the hell they called it. I think it's still sitting in my closet somewhere here. And they had Pieces of Eight. It had Crystal Ball, and it had Grand Illusion, which are the three of the best albums that Styx ever did. So when I saw Pieces of Eight came out in 78, I was like, oh, fuck yes, I love Pieces of Eight. Not as much as Grand Illusion, but I love Pieces of Eight. It's right there with Crystal Ball as like underneath Grand Illusion. But and kind of all three are right above the Mr. Roboto album. I can't remember the name for the moment, but I just fucking saw the name of it today too, and I can't think of it now. But go ahead, Chancey. What is it? I know you know.
Oh no, I was laughing because when you were talking about Mr. Roboto, it made me think literally back to probably one of the, like, it's a fond memory from my childhood, but I think I was like 16 or 17, and I come from a really small town, so this will make a lot more sense when I explain what's going on here. But it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and me and my friend are inebriated. We're not drunk by any means, but we're definitely feeling good. And we got all the windows down, and he's got his system blasting fucking Mr. Roboto in this tiny little Mayberry town. And it's bouncing off all the brick walls, and you can just hear it just fucking all the way across town. And we're going backwards. We're literally driving in reverse in on the loop, because this is back when people used to still drive the loop, scoop the loop. And we're just driving around. 3 a.m., windows down, just cold as shit, blasting Mr. Roboto. So every time somebody brings up Mr. Roboto, I think about that fucking dumbass shit.
And actually, I'm happy to tell that story, because the name of the album was Kilroy Was Here. I can't remember, forgot that, but that was the name of the album Mr. Roboto was from. But Kilroy Was Here. And, I mean, that album is right below these three that I just mentioned, but Pieces of Eight is an amazing album overall. It's more back when Styx was in, I guess, kind of their medieval fantasy rock days, almost in a way. Their early symphonic metal, early prog rock that they did. But, and I love Pieces of Eight. It's just an amazing album. All three of those albums actually go together really well. If you listen to them in order, it's always been a thing. Like, if you get stoned to listen to all three of them in order, they kind of, like, blend. But just a sign of the times, in a way. But well, I'll let you tell us, Cliff. What did you think of Pieces of Eight?
I loved it. I loved number one. My number one song, which I don't think was off this album for Styx, though. Babe is my favorite. I'm a ballad guy, man. I like Babe. Yeah, I like that song. But I'm
don't get me wrong. Styx's power ballads are some of the best things ever made. But
yeah, okay, good.
And Babe was actually. Babe actually was a song that brought Styx to fame, so
yeah,
can't go wrong with that.
Can't go wrong with that. Number one, I'm okay. I like that. I like the sound, the organ sound. It's, you know, positive, empowering vibe to it, and I like it, man. So two, Lords of the Ring. Three was Renegade, right? Hangman is coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long. Of course, Pieces of Eight. I kind of researched that. I go, what the hell was this whole theme about? So I found out it was kind of a pirate theme, and that Pieces of Eight referred to a Spanish coin that really was divided into eight pieces. So so that kind of made sense with the song, right? You can't buy everything. All that. The whole lyrics were kind of in that theme. So that was it, I guess. Yeah, that was five, right? Yeah.
I believe
so. Nice.
Yeah, Pieces of Eight was referred to Spanish coin, which was divided into eight fractional pieces. Pirates used these coins as their form of currency during the voyages. Yeah, so I guess that was their theme for the album. I loved it, man. I just remember Babe and some of the songs, but to research kind of the theme of this album, I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, all it sticks. All their albums have some kind of theme.
Right? Yeah. Awesome.
I mean, Kilroy Was Here is basically a fucking movie, but
yeah.
Chancey, what did you think of Pieces of Eight?
I honestly, you know, similar story to Journey. Like, I had to actually kind of get into music a bit more before I actually appreciated it, mostly because of just oversaturation. At a young age, really. It's just kind of one of those things. You can only go to so many parties when you're too young to be at parties and listen to fucking Journey and Styx and REO Speedwagon, you know, all the iconic Mount Rushmore classics.
I love that. I mean, you can go to too many? I didn't know that.
Well, no, not too many. Too young.
Oh, I got you. Okay, yeah.
I was the local 8-year-old at the 30, 40-year-old party. Oh, you know,
you must my have parents, you listen to REO. You must have been.
Oh yeah, my parents is they were like, listen, we're just going to expose him to the world. He's going to figure it out anyway. So that's like, you know,
your parents' age. That's sad.
Oh, my parents are old. My dad's old. My dad's old, old.
How old? Like is he?
He's 70. He'll be 73 this year, I think, okay. Is what it is.
I'm 66. Okay.
So he was born in 50. He was born in 51.
I'm 57. Okay. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But difference. And you're not wrong there, Shannon. Styx was a lot like Queen in ways.
Yes, I mean, they were.
And
man.
I think, you know, that might have been another thing that rubbed me wrong when I was young as well. Because, like, I was already into Queen. So it's like, who the fuck are these guys and why are they trying to be like this great band?
But see, I mean, I almost want to say they came out like at the exact same time. And like, One from America.
Probably.
One from America, one from UK. So I don't think they really even like ran into each other until like they both got famous.
Yeah.
So
78, 76, 77.
I mean, yeah. Styx started in what? I think I
want six or
yeah, it was like mid-70s.
I want to say, I mean, this album was 78. This was nowhere near their first album. I think they started in like, I want to say the '60s.
Oh, maybe.
It's possible, I mean, but this is also the same time frame when you had to put out like records. You put out this many records in this period of time. That's your deal.
Well, I mean, yeah, okay. Styx started out in 1972.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. A little bit. I mean, earlier. So yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's early, man.
Because if you listen to their first three albums, which are just called Styx 2 and Styx 3, they are a very like different album. They're different music from what people think of when they think of Styx. They're almost like more. They're definitely like the more symphonic metal. Like it's what they were trying to do in the beginning. But and actually, Queen's first album came out in 73, so Styx actually came out a year earlier.
Yeah,
so, couldn't be a copy thing, really. But and no. I mean, like I said, different countries completely with no real internet back then or communication. So there's no way they would know each other when they first started out. But
no way.
But I mean, for this album, I had to have two honorable mentions as well for this album because it's fucking Styx. And number 7, don't look at me like that. I fucking love Styx. But
no, that's not why. Like, it was what you said before about, like, you know, oh, different countries and no ways of communication. So it's like, okay, cool. My question, my immediate fucking question to you is, how the fuck did the Beatles and the fucking Rolling Stones rip off Chuck Berry and fucking Little Richard? They're in different countries and they got no communication, right, Jeremy?
Chuck Berry and Little Richard were touring already at that point, I think.
Dude, they were brought over there. They were brought over. The Little Richard discovered the fucking Beatles, bro.
I know. I'm well aware. So, I mean.
But oh, and the Stones. And the Stones. I forgot about that,
too. But I'm pretty sure none of Queen were traveling to the United States before they got famous. For any reason. And Styx obviously wasn't big enough by that point to tour England. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're just happened to be two random occurrences in.
Oh no, I'm not talking. I'm not talking about that. Anything other than you saying that they didn't have any form of communication.
Well, they did, but people didn't. people didn't just travel the globe at that point for no reason, unless they had a reason to. But there was no exposure to things. I mean, even like on the news, you wouldn't hear what's happening in the UK usually, unless it was like worldwide important. But anyway, motherfucker. My number 7 is the title track, Pieces of 8, because it's just, it's okay. It's not the greatest song on the CD by any means, but it's a good song. Number 6, and I hate having to put the solo because I always love this song. Just the opening track, The Great White Hope, is fucking incredible.
Oh, that is good. The way it opens
with the snare drum going, and like it's supposed to be like a boxing match type thing going on in the beginning of it. Like it's, I mean, the song's a little racist if you think about it, but yeah. I mean, it's definitely like a. I mean, it was the 70s, so whatever. But it's. I mean, it was almost like a boxing theme for like a. I don't know. I always pictured it being a boxing movie, but I've yet to see that happen. So we'll see. But number 5 for me though was Lords of the Ring because they sang a lot about Tolkien back in the early days. Styx, because they were big fantasy lovers, so Tolkien was right up there. And any song about Lord of the Rings is freaking incredible. And the way they do the instrumentals in the back of that one is so fucking amazing. It's like D&D sounding almost before D&D was really a thing. So number four is I'm Okay, because I always have loved that song. It's one of like the best mental health songs that has ever existed. It's like, if you're having a bad day, listen to that song. By the end, you're not going to have a bad day anymore. Like, it just lifts you up so high. It's like I'm Still Standing by Elton John. So, just lifts you up. But I had to get knocked down because my top three are legendary. Number three was Blue Car Man, because that's one of the first Styx songs I ever heard. And, I mean, I never really was a Blue Car Man. But, you know, I kind of respected it. But number two was Renegade, because that opening, it's another one of the first Styx songs I ever heard. And that opening, it's very reminiscent of Queen's opening, almost opening on some songs in a way, almost, because the Oh Mama, like, and fucking like the soft sing before they break in the guitar, and the guitar card starts coming in, freaking wailing off on it. But I used to sing that song so fucking loud back in the day in the car. But I probably have driven home at 3 a.m. inebriated, singing Renegade atop my lungs, Chancey. So, you know. And plus, I believe it was in Billy Madison, wasn't it? Or one of the early Adam Sandler movies? Because there's Styx in every Adam Sandler movie because he loves them.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is in Billy Madison.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought so. And then number one has to be Queen of Spades, because that song is incredible with the slow-ass start. And then, like, when that guitar kicks in, it's just, like, rocking the fucking roof off, like, with that guitar. Yeah, it's just incredible.
Awesome.
Beware of the Queen of Spades. Like, it's just, I don't know. I like the fancy, mythical world that they live in, that Styx lived in always. Like, it's like they were tripping acid, even though everybody knows they really didn't until, like, later days. But Tommy Shaw definitely wasn't when he was writing these songs, so. The band changed after he left, but it still is incredible. So, can't deny it. I would love to see them live. It's been a dream for so many years. It just has yet to happen. But, Chancey, finish us off here. What were your top five for Styx?
So, number five for me was Lords of the Ring. Number four was the Queen of Spades. Number three was the Great White Hope. Number two was Blue Collar Man, and number one was The Message.
I knew it. I fucking knew it.
I'm playing. It was Renegade. But I mean, honestly, though, you can't not bring up The Message. That's fucking solid.
It's, I mean, Styx is known for like their transition songs. They're known for it. Like,
but it's solid. I mean, it's a solid instrumental.
I mean, they kind of set the groundwork for like bands like Avantasia and Nightwish and other symphonic metal bands to have those intermissions in between, like where like the album goes into a different theme. So it was always a good time. I mean, Styx is always good. I can't not like Styx. Even their first three albums are not, they're not horrible. I mean, they're not horrible. They're pretty good. I'm not going to say they're amazing, but they're pretty damn good. I mean, if you want to get stoned or have a couple glasses of whiskey and go listen to them, it's definitely worth it. But if you never heard them, that is. Actually, I think I do owe them a replay at some point soon in the future. But, well, that is the album's three for tonight, folks. We brought you a 78 show. We really got to start keeping tracks of the years we hit, because I don't even ever have time.
Actually, it's ironic, because 78 was the year my mother graduated high school.
Wow. My mom, I graduated in 75. Holy shit.
my parents graduated in 77, but
yeah.
But yet my parents were younger than yours, Chancey. Oh, your dad. You always said your dad.
Yeah, I was gonna say my mom. I was gonna say my mom's pretty. My mom, well, she's not anymore. But like, you know.
Oh, your mom's born six.
What?
I said your mom's gonna slap you for that one.
No, nah.
Oh yeah,
mom's cool.
Your mom would have been born 60 if she graduated high school in 78, because. What mean,
well, in theory, maybe she was dumb. Maybe she got held back. Maybe she's as dumb as a bucket of rocks. You know, who fucking knows? Come on, man. Now I'm going to get the shit kicked out of me. There's the line.
I have to help. I have to help. But Cliff, where can they find your show? Where can they find you? Just promote yourself to the fullest, buddy.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you guys for having me. This was a ball. I had to have a glass of whiskey and talk about songs back in the 78-ish, man. Yeah, CliffYates.com, The Cliff Yates Show podcast. It's on YouTube, you know, podcast, Amazon Music, Spotify, all that stuff, man. But, hey, guys, thanks for having me on. This has been a blast. I had fun.
Oh, our pleasure, brother. Yeah, man. Pleasure. It was a fun time. You're definitely welcome back anytime.
Please. I'd like to come back and explore some more music genres.
Oh, we love different genres. That's for damn sure.
Great.
That's why we don't get to classic rock too often, is because there's so many other genres out there that people bring that we have to kind of go with what they do usually. I mean, I do. Chancey, who knows? But he just hits the shuffle button and sees what comes. But
that's what I do. Like, when I, like, Except for this next one. And if you want to stay when we're done taping, I'll tell you my album choice for next week. But he'll send me what the guest picks. He sends me his choice, and then I immediately just go to YouTube Music, which is, it's got like, yeah, over it. I got to be pushing 2,000 songs at this point. And I just hit shuffle.
Yeah.
And then it's either what it lands on, or if what it landed on is something that I've already brought, I'll pull up the play, because it's all shuffled and whatnot, and I'm like, okay, well, what's next? And then it just so happened to be The Cars, and I was like, oh, fuck yeah.
Oh my god. That's great.
Talk about coincidence. But Jancy, where can they find you if they want to find you?
You know, Facebook, right there, that's the name. The scavenger hunt still abounds. TikTok and Instagram, it's the Red Eye Roundtable. X is Red Eye Table. And obviously, of course, you know, everybody's favorite hangout, The Void. You know, just mention my name, they'll let you in, they know me there. But yeah, go ahead and take us out, since, you know, I know you got something you got to do here in a couple minutes. So do your thing, chop, yeah, chop, man.
That's right. You can find your musers in total on Facebook as the Uncensored, Unapologetic, and Untamed Podcast Collective, YouTube. You can find us on X and the Gram as That Juggalo Bastard. You can find us on TikTok as That Juggalo Bastard Podcast. You can find us on YouTube as Maniacal Music Musings. And you can find us streaming live on Parapost Network on Facebook, as well as a proud part of Blind Knowledge Network, because all knowledge was blind. Well, actually, I ain't even got shit for that, because this is a good week. All knowledge was blind until Kilroy was here. There we go. That's a good way.
So the lights went down in the city?
No, I'll stick with mine. But thanks for trying to help, Jancy.
Hey, no, I'll do what I can.
We know. But yeah, we do want to thank Cliff for coming on. It was a fun guest to have on. And go check out the Cliff Yates Show. I'm sure it's a funny-ass show. Until next time, folks, we will see you next week. And we'll see you this weekend for part 9 of the Rolling Stones Top 500 Songs bracket. So, see you then.
So cold, so alone. but well. I tried to escape. She fired.